chapter number 5, right after the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. You'll find Paul's letter to the Galatians. And I've been studying the book of Galatians for a while now, and it's a book, Brother Johnny, that I've come to love. Because it's a book that teaches all about what we're going to preach today, about finding freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that's hard to see, but it's freedom in Christ. Paul's letter to the Galatians is wrapped around that subject. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ today. I know what it's like to have been in bondage, and I know what it's like to have to be free, and I sure would rather be free today. I'm thankful for the freedom that we find in Christ. Go to chapter number 5 in the book of Galatians. That's where we'll spend our time this morning. But before we get into it today, as I'm thinking about VBS that'll be starting next week, of course, you'll see that we put up some signs out there that says live animals. Now, of course, we'll be having some live animals. We'll have some horses out there. And if you have any live animals that you want to bring, that you want to be around kids, that's fine too. But if you bring a snake, you're going to have a preacherless VBS. I can guarantee you that. My sister-in-law said the other day, she said, there ain't nothing wrong with a snake. She said, it's just as good as a bird. I said, well, Satan ain't never showed up in the form of a bird. Snakes are bad. That's the animal that Satan chose to show himself in. A good snake and a bad snake. They're all bad. Amen. But I was thinking about earlier this morning when I was thinking about VBS and the horses and all that stuff that were going to be here. You'll also probably never see your preacher on top of a horse. But I was thinking about this preacher that did love horses. He loved to ride horses, and he was so godly. He was so his walk with God was so good that even with his horse, he talked to the horse like he was talking to the Lord. So what he would do was when the horse, to make the horse go, the word was praise the Lord. To make the horse stop, the word was amen. So to make the horse stop, he'd say amen. But to make the horse just get up and go, he'd say praise the Lord, and that horse would just take off. One day that preacher got out and he was riding his horse, and his mind was on the church, his mind was on the clouds, his mind was on the Lord. And he was just so wrapped up in all that, and all of a sudden he began to look around and he figured out that he and his horse were in uncharted territory. They were in a place that they had never been before, and he began to look around and said, oh boy, I don't know where we're at now. And he looks about 100 yards off in the distance, there's a big old cliff. And that horse is just a-going, boy. And that preacher's mind said he went blank. He said, what in the world do I say to make this horse stop? And he started yelling at the horse. He said, whoa! Whoa, boy! Stop! Stop! And he thought, hold on. It was something religious to make him stop. So he starts yelling at him. He says, glory! Hallelujah! And that horse just keeps on going, boy. They get about 5 feet, and that preacher says, amen! And that horse just comes to a stop. And that preacher says, he reaches in the back of his pocket. He was just sweating. He had a towel. He wipes it. He says, whoo, praise the Lord. Amen. That's the moral of the story. All right. Well, is everybody in Galatians 5? Say amen. All right. Well, find your place in verse number 1. We'll begin reading there. This morning, Paul's writing to this church here in Galatians. In verse 1, he says this. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now, people take that verse to say that you can lose your salvation. I'm not getting into this today, but Paul in no verse in the Bible mentions that you can lose your salvation. That's not what your falling from grace means. What your falling from grace means, these people are trying to attain righteousness by the law, by the things that they are doing. So Paul says when you're trying to do that, grace doesn't do anything for you. So that's what that means. It's not mean that you can lose your salvation. It just means that when you're trying righteousness on your own, grace can't do anything for you. Verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." But those next two words say, "But faith, which worketh thy love." And that's where we'll stop this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You today that it still has the power to change lives. And God, this week as I was thinking back at a time in my life to where I opened up Your Word, and God, Your Word changed my life completely. And God, I thank You today that the Word of God still has the power to change lives. It is alive, it is powerful, it is relevant today for every single problem we face, for every single thing that we come to in our life. We can open up Your Word and find a solution and find You in the midst of it. And God, we thank You for Your Word today. So I pray that as we open it, Lord, that You'll help us to learn whatever You want us to learn from it, God, and we'll grow in our knowledge of the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, today I pray that You'll cleanse us of our sin and fill us with Your Spirit to do Your work today. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God will move down each and every aisle of this church today and touch our hearts, move in our hearts, and change us and challenge us and convict us. And Lord, we thank You today for all You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, of course, you know that last week we went through a time of July the 4th. Was everybody busy? It's a time where you go to spend time with your family. It's a time where a lot of things are going on. But July the 4th is a time each year that's still on our calendar that we get to celebrate the independence of America. And I'm thankful it's still on our calendar that we can still celebrate it each year. But I don't know about you, but I was thinking about it this week, and I was thinking about some missionaries that are over in other countries today. But I take for granted that we truly do live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We live in the land of the free. And as I mentioned earlier, the greatest, by far the greatest freedom that you and I have is the freedom to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in public. There are people today, I know one of them today that's in Indonesia today, that are under 6 locked doors, underground church. And if those Muslims find that they are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ under those 6 locked doors, they're done. They're dead. And you know what? In America today, we have the freedom to do it with our door unlocked. Because people have went and fought for our freedom, that we might have the freedom to do this. We want to be thankful for the people that fought for our freedom. Amen? It's a good thing today that we can come and worship Jesus together. But most of all, we ought to be thankful for God who's blessed our nation abundantly. And you know, today, national freedom is a great thing. America, it may not be what it used to be. It may not be everything that it needs to be, but God has still blessed our nation. But I'm not in the White House today, and I'm not here to preach about national freedom. I'm in God's house today, and I'm here to tell you about a freedom that's a whole lot better than national freedom, and that's spiritual freedom found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first sermon that Jesus ever preached, when He comes in the Gospel of Luke, He comes to Nazareth, the place that He grew up, and He said these words. He opened up to the scroll in Isaiah, and the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good news to those that need it, and to set free and to give liberty to those that are captive." He said, one of the reasons I've come is because people are captive, and I'm here to set them free. The Bible says in John chapter 8, He says, "He who knows the Son shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus came for the reason of setting you and I free. And you and I know that our national freedom, it is not free. To live in a country that is free doesn't mean that the price of it was free. There's people today that are still paying the price so that we might have a free nation. And today our spiritual freedom that was found in Christ, it wasn't free either. But it was paid by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And I'm thankful today that we've got liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, there's one thing about national liberty and spiritual liberty that go along. Ever since 1776, when we came together as an independent nation, you'll find that the national liberty that we've had has always come under attack. It's still under attack today. There are two kinds of people, most of all, in the world. People that love America and people that want to come to America and experience the freedom that we have. Or there's the other side, that people absolutely hate America and their number one goal is to take away absolutely every freedom that you and I have. And some of them are in this country that want to take away every freedom that we have. But you know, I tell you that this morning, that our national liberty is always attacked. I tell you that is because in the letter that we read in the book of Galatians, that's exactly what is happening in Galatia. There's a new group walking around called Christians. And these Christians have apparently found spiritual freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also people in the region of Galatia called Judaizers. And what they're trying to do is say, hey, you think you've got freedom? Well, I'm going to bring it under attack. And our main tactic is to take away the liberty and the freedom that you have found by faith in Jesus Christ. And the main reason that Paul writes this letter to the church at Galatia is because their liberty in Christ has come under attack. And that's why here in this verse that I read to you, chapter 5, verse 1, the first two words say, stand fast in the liberty. In other words, Paul said, dig your feet into the Lord Jesus Christ. Dig into the liberty that you have, because if you're not dug in, if you're not standing firm, these people who are coming to take away your freedom will come and wipe you right out and you won't have that freedom anymore. And it's the same thing we need to do in America. You better dig your feet in. These Judaizers have come and Paul says, dig your feet in and stand firm, because their main goal is to take away the liberty that you found in Christ. And Paul says that because he knows this. There is absolutely nothing worse than for a Christian to experience freedom in Christ only to come right back under bondage to what he was in bondage in before Christ set him free. Paul realized that's the worst thing that could ever happen to this church at Galatia. Because they were joyful, they were praising the Lord that Christ made them free, and now these people come along and say, are you sure? And what they're trying to do is put them right back into bondage to what Christ made them free from. And now they're in jeopardy of being put right back under that same bondage. Did you know that you can be a Christian and be in bondage? There are Christians today that fill a church pew every single Sunday that have been in bondage and they may not even know it. And I was one of them. And that's why I'm preaching that to you this morning. Because Christians can get right back under bondage from what Christ has already made us free from. And when I've been studying this letter for the last few months, it's my burden to you. Because before I started studying this, I didn't really even hardly realize I was in bondage until I read it. And it's my burden for you today, not that Christ will make you free. If you're a Christian, Christ has already made you free. It is my burden that you will realize you are free. You are free. So today, let's look at the liberty and the freedom that Christ gave to you and I. I don't have three things today. I've got two things today. Somebody say amen. The first thing that I want you to see about this liberty is, number one, Jesus gave you liberty. Jesus gave you liberty. Now look at verse number 1. The Bible says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ is going to make you free sometime in the future. Is that what it says? No, it says wherewith Christ has already, past tense, and is now made you free. Now if we're made free, that means that we're made free from something that was holding us down. See, Paul says that Christ has made us free. Well, what did Christ make us free from? Continue reading verse 1. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, Paul says Christ has already made you free from that yoke of bondage, Brother Johnny. Don't be entangled again by it. So what did Christ make us free from? The yoke of bondage. Now, it may surprise you what this yoke of bondage is today. Because a lot of us that may be reading it that don't know about the letter to the Galatian Christians, we might think that this yoke of bondage is sin. But this yoke of bondage is not sin. I'll show you what it is in a second. But we were chained up. We were wrapped up in a yoke of bondage. Now, we live in the South, so much, a lot of you know exactly what a yoke was and what a yoke is. So what is a yoke? A yoke was something that they would put on the necks of the cattle and of the bull and of the horses in order that they might be pulled around into the direction that they wanted to go, that they might keep their head down, that they might do their job, that they might not rebel and go the way that they might want to go, but they would go the way that their master told them to go, and they would be weighed down by this heavy weight that was on their neck so that they would go that way. That's a yoke. That's what a yoke is. The Bible says that you and I are under a yoke of bondage. I told you a while ago, it may surprise you what this yoke is, because we've looked at it so many times, and for me at least, I've looked at it and said, this yoke is the burden of sin that is under me. But this yoke is not the burden of sin. You know what this yoke is? This yoke is the law of God. The thing that we are under, the thing that is literally on our neck to weigh us down, is the law of God. And I'm going to explain it to you in the next few minutes. But today, I've realized that when I was growing up, there was things that caught my attention, and it was illustrations that my pastor would use. I don't remember hardly any of the sermons that he preached, but if he used an illustration, I would always remember it. Makes me remember it better. Now, I should have called some of you because some of you might have a yoke that I could wrap around my neck so that you could see what it was like. But today, the only thing that I could find was this piece of wood. So today, this piece of wood is going to be the yoke of bondage that you and I are under. And those words right there say that we are under the law of God. But the Bible says Christ has made us free from that. Now, I'm about to show you how uncomfortable this is going to get for the next 10, 20 minutes. The law of God is which you and I are under. You say, well, what is the law? The law is what God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19 through Exodus chapter number 34, you'll find that He gave him the Ten Commandments. You all know the Ten Commandments. You'll find that He gave them the social ordinances, the way that you're supposed to act with one another. His religious ordinance, the way you're supposed to act in accordance to God. He gave them the law. Now, what is the law? Number one, I want you to see today that the law is holy. The law is holy. The law is good. The law is just. Paul said, wherefore, the law is holy, the commandment holy, and it is just, and it is good. Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, we know that the law is good. It is holy because it was given by God. Do you know everything that's ever been given by God is good, is holy, and is just? God gave His Son Jesus. I would say He is the essence of holiness. When you and I got saved, God gave the Holy Spirit to indwell us. The Holy Spirit is holy. Every gift that God gives is holy. And the thing that He gave to Moses on Mount Sinai is holy. It is a law that's holy. It is a law that's straight. It is a law that's good. It is a law that is just. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I want you to see is this. The law is also death. The law is also death, because although the law was good, although the law was holy, although the law was just, there was one thing that the law could never do for you and me. The law could never save us. The law could never give us life. Look at what Paul said. He said, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if you want righteousness by the law, this law won't do it. It's not there to save you. It's not there to give you life. You know why the law is there? Not to save you, to condemn you. Amen. And we'll look at that because I want you to learn that. The Bible says the letter or the law kills. This can't give you life. It holds you down. It's a bondage in which we are under, but the Spirit giveth life. You say, why does the law kill us? I'd love to tell you. Because every single one of us have broke it. Amen. You ever told a lie? Don't shake your head no, because you just did. Why does the law death to us? Because every single one of us have broke it. And you know what the Bible says? If you broke one of them, you broke all of them. So we may look at other people and say they're worse sinners than us, but if we broke one of them, we're the exact same. You don't place heights on sin. This one's worse, this one's better. It's all sin in the eyes of God. The law is death. And therefore, the Bible says that you and I are under a curse. We are cursed The Bible says in Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you don't do every single thing that's in the law, you are cursed and you are going to die. That is the whole reason you and I die, is because we do not do all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Because we've broken it. You say, well, hold on. If the law couldn't give me life, why did God give it? I just told you. The law was not given to save us. The law was given to condemn us. You say, well, what was the purpose of the law then? The Bible says, thirdly, that the law was not only death, but the law was our schoolmaster. You say, what's a schoolmaster? You see what I just did? This thing was over me, and my shoulders are starting to get tired. Do I look uncomfortable up here? Because I am. Do you know that's exactly what the law does? It makes you uncomfortable. It puts a weight on you that you cannot carry around. And the reason, I'll get to this in a second, that some of us can't enjoy our salvation is because this thing is still on us. Let me tell you something. If I walked around the next 10 hours with this thing on me, my life would be miserable. And the reason some of us are miserable is because that's exactly what's happening today. The law is not only holy, the law is death because we've broken it. The law, thirdly, says it's our schoolmaster. You say, what's a schoolmaster? A schoolmaster is the same thing as a teacher in our day today. So in other words, the Bible says the law is our teacher. So what did the law teach us? Look at that. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The law taught us a few things. The law taught us that God was holy. It taught us about the holiness of God, that God was holy. He was separate from sin. The law says, be ye holy as I am holy. The law says God is holy, God is just, God is right. But you know what also the law says? The unholiness of man. The law says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law says that we are not holy like God, but the law says that we are unholy like man. Paul said these words. He said, I was alive at one time. He said, but when the commandment came and I read it, sin revived and I died. In other words, I thought I was alive until I looked into the law and I realized I could not keep it, therefore I died. The Bible says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. I want you to realize that this morning, that those Ten Commandments were not given to save you. Those Ten Commandments were given to condemn you because they are meant to say, I'm holy and you cannot live up to my standard. That was the whole reason God gave the law to Moses. Not to give us life. For if there had been a law which could have given us life, He would have given us a law to give us life. But the law does not give us life. The law gives us death. And you know what? Every single last one of us were born under the law. Every single last one of us were born under this thing. I'm under it. And you know what? Because I could not continue in all things in it, I couldn't get out from under it. Because I could not die for my sins, I couldn't get out from under it. And I didn't have any hope. I was under this law. I was in bondage. There's nothing I could do. How many of you are glad when there's no hope, God shows up and says, I got some hope? Because the Bible says when the law was holy, when the law was death, when the law was our schoolmaster, that Christ came. Galatians 4, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Galatians 4:4 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law. In other words, those that were under the law, Christ came to take you out from under it. That's one of the main reasons Christ came, because we were under the law and we couldn't keep it, so Christ came. And when we couldn't keep it, He did. See, the law commands that we continue in all things as it is written. Well, Jesus said, I'm not come to destroy the law. I'm come to fulfill the law. And when Jesus came, although we broke the law, the Lord Jesus Christ came and He fulfilled every single bit of the law. He never broke one thing that was in the law. He was perfect. He was sinless, and He never broke it. So the law commanded that we continue in all things. When we couldn't, Jesus came and He did. The law commanded that we die. The law was death to us. But when we could not die for our own sins, the Bible says Jesus came, continued in all things, and when we were under the curse, He became a curse for us. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus took that tree and He hung on it for you and me, and He became a curse for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. When the law commanded that we continue in all things, we couldn't, so Christ came and did. When the law commanded that we die for our own sins, we couldn't, so Christ came and He did. And that's why we sing the song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Because at Calvary, this burden of the law that was under you and me, it was lifted off of us. It was lifted. And you know what Jesus says? One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I've got a lot of favorite verses if you hadn't noticed. The Bible says, Come unto me, all ye that labor. In other words, if you're working and you're trying too hard to get right, to be righteous, just come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. My shoulders are already hurting because I was heavy laden from the law that was upon me. And He said, I will give you rest. Stop carrying it around because I already took it off. And you know what it says after that? He said, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus said, I'm going to take this yoke of the law off of you and put another yoke on you, which I will give you. See, that first yoke was the yoke of the law. But Jesus says, Come to me and I will give you another yoke. Do you know what that yoke is? It's called grace. And do you know what grace is? It ain't heavy, it's light. It's easy, and it's a free gift from God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy, and my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was something that held us down. The law was something that could not save us. The Bible says in the book of Romans that, or in the book of Galatians, if there had been a law, God would have given it. The Bible also says, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law couldn't save you, so God sent His own Son to save you. And I tell you all that to tell you this. When I took this off of me just now, there was a weight that was lifted off. And to be honest with you, I feel pretty good now. I feel like preaching now. I didn't feel like preaching when this thing was on me, but when I took it off, I feel a whole lot better now. Can you imagine a slave that had been a slave for 60 years of their life, and the chains get broken off, and they're allowed to go and be free, and they walk out saying, Woo-hoo, sure am glad I'm free. No. When the chains get broken off, they're going to start running out and saying, Praise God, I'm free. It'll be the greatest day of their life when they realize they are free from something that they could not set themselves free from, but somebody set them free. So they'll run out and they'll praise the Lord the rest of the days of their life because they realize when they couldn't do it, somebody else did. And that's exactly what happened with you and me. When we could not do it, somebody else came and He did it. Now, how many of you wake up every single morning on Monday morning saying, Praise God for my salvation. It's good to be alive today. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven one day. Everything's good. I'm just glad I'm saved. No. We got out of bed and said, Oh, Lord, another day. There's two types of people. Actually, three. I think there's two. The person that wakes up and says, Good Lord, it's morning. Well, the person that wakes up and says, It's morning, Lord. Most of us are, good Lord, it's morning. But you know, the overwhelming freedom that Christ gives us, it lets a weight off of us. But do you know why some of us don't have that weight lifted up off of us and we don't enjoy the freedom that Christ gave to us? It's because this thing that was on us, is still on us. When Christ made us free, we went right back under it and got entangled by it. The Bible says when Christ makes us free, we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. The problem is that the reason we don't enjoy our salvation is we put ourselves right back under this yoke of bondage. And we don't enjoy the salvation that Christ gave to us. One of the best things that I can tell you is that we Christians are not supposed to walk around this world saying, well, I'm saved. I'll go to heaven one day, but I'm going to just be miserable the next 60 years. When people look at us, they're going to say, well, they're miserable just like me. I don't want what they have. Christians are supposed to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Because we're free. We've been set free. But number one, I want you to see that today. That law that we were under, that law that we could not keep, Jesus came, He kept it, He died, and He gave us freedom from it. But secondly, and probably most importantly, I want you to see that not only Jesus gives us liberty, but the Judaizers are going to attack your liberty. They're going to attack your liberty. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 5, verse number 1, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Remember, he said, stand fast, stand firm. That means dig your feet in. Why? Because there's somebody that is coming that is trying to put you right back under what Christ made you free from. The law that was on us, Christ took it off. Now what's happening is in Galatia is people are coming and saying, you got to put that right back on. You're not free from that. And they wanted to put them right back under. Let me show you this, that Paul has just finished his first missionary journey around the region of Galatia when he's about to write this letter to the Galatians. He's went around that region to Lystra, to Derbe, to Iconium, to Antioch, and he's preached that righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Paul realized that he could not keep the law. He tried to keep the law, but he realized he could not, so he turned to faith in Christ. And he did, and he said, I found righteousness only in Him. And he went around that region saying, only you can find righteousness, not by the works, but by faith in the finished work. And he's going around saying that you can be saved by faith in Christ. It's only by receiving Him, not by what you do, but by what He did. And then he'd leave the town, and you know what would happen? There'd be a group behind him called the Judaizers. They were Jews who wanted to uphold the law to the highest point, who wanted to find righteousness through that law. And they'd walk in the town that Paul just left. And they'd look at those people, they'd say, hey, what did Paul tell you? And they'd say, man, that we found righteousness by faith in Christ, that we're saved because we exercise faith in Him. And they'd look and say, he's wrong. You can't go to heaven just because you receive Jesus. You can't be saved. You can't be righteous just because you've exercised faith in Christ. They say, well, what does it take? They say, well, you need to believe in God, but you better do the works too. You believe in God, but you also do good. Believe in God, but also do the law of Moses that was on you. Some of you don't believe me, maybe. Acts 15 says this. I'll read it to you. Acts 15, verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. They're walking around saying, unless you keep the law and be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Is that true? No. That is an outward sign. It's just like baptism. I'm not saved because I got dunked under some water. I'm saved because I got dunked into the Lord Jesus Christ and He came to live on the inside of me. But that's what they're saying. And then in verse 5, the Bible says, but there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed. So they did believe in Jesus. But they said this, it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. In other words, I know you're saved because you trusted in Jesus, but you got to keep yourself saved by the good things that you do. That's what they're walking around saying. And you know what that does? The Judaizers walked over here to this law that Christ has already buried, that Christ has already nailed to the cross, and they're walking back to it and say, hey, I know you think you're free, but come here. In order to get to heaven, get right back under it, because you better do every single thing that it says or you ain't saved. You better keep the Ten Commandments or you won't be saved anymore. You better go to church or you won't be saved anymore. You better read your Bible or you won't be saved anymore. That's what's going on. And they took it and they put it right back under them. And that's why Paul wrote this letter to them. Because he's standing in their defense, saying that's not true at all. It's not by the things that you do. It's by what Christ already did. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He has saved us. And let me show you something. You may not know it, and I didn't know it either. But I was under that bondage of the law again to what Christ has made me free from. The reason that we're not so overjoyed with the freedom Christ gave to us is because we've gotten right back under it. We've allowed somebody to tell us, you got to do something. You got to keep yourself saved. You got to do this. You got to do right. Some of you may not like what I'm preaching this morning. That's fine. But it's by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved and we're saved alone. It's not by anything that you do. I'm not keeping myself saved. He's keeping me saved. I didn't do anything to get saved. I just received the gift that He freely handed to me. But you say, some of the reason that I didn't enjoy my salvation at a time was because I was under this burden of the law. And you may look at me this morning and you say, no, I don't believe that it's faith plus works. I believe that it's only by faith. But in our subconscious, we truly believe that it's faith plus works. Because there's something on the inside of us that wants to earn what we get. There's something that says, there's no way I can get to heaven just by trusting God. I've got to do something to get there. There's no way I can get to heaven by just receiving Jesus. I've got to earn that salvation that Christ gave to me. And see, that's something that goes on in our subconscious. We may not say that it's faith plus works, but something on the inside of us says, man, we got to earn our approval from God. We got to be approved by Him. And how is that? We do good works. And the reason that I think some of us don't enjoy our salvation is just because of this. That we're under it and we're trying our best to look at God every day and say, I am good enough, God. I do deserve salvation. I can earn it by the works that I do. Now, let me tell you something. I'll never forget, Brother Johnny, when I realized I had this problem. When I realized I was under the works of the law, although I had been saved for 10 years, I realized that this burden was still on me. Let me tell you why. In high school, and from the time I was 3 years old to 4 years old until I got to college, I played sports. I loved baseball. Now, in high school, I didn't have to practice that hard to be a starter. I didn't have to do much. I could go out there and really just do it, and I'd be one of the best ones out there. I don't mean to be arrogant by that. I'm just telling you that some of the teams that we played and some of the people weren't that good. And God gave me a natural talent, a natural ability to play baseball, and that's exactly what He did. But when I got to college, I realized something, that I wasn't as good as I was in high school. That if I wanted to play up here, there were some boys up here that was just as good and a whole lot better than me too. So you know what I had to do? To get better, to become a starter, you know what I had to do? I had to work harder, Brother Johnny. I realized that in order to become a starter in college, I better start working harder. I better start doing more. So I'd get up every morning at 6:30, go out there, I'd go out there and hit, I'd go out there and throw, and every night I'd go work out. Well, guess what? By the middle of the season, Justin still wasn't in the starting lineup. So I did it some more. I said, well, I'm going to just have to get up earlier. Work even harder. So I just keep on going. Keep on throwing. Keep on lifting. By the time of the end of the year, you know who never started? Justin. No matter how hard I work, do you know what happened? I can never be accepted by the coach to be the starter. Mostly because there's somebody better than me. But I tried my best to work harder and harder and harder and harder to be approved by my coach. And guess what? It never happened. And you know what happened? I started to take that into my relationship with God. And every time I messed up, I would say, God, I'm going to do better. Every time I sinned, I will say, God, I'm sorry, but I'm going to get better. I'm going to get right. So you know what I'll do? I start waking up in the morning reading my Bible. That's a good thing, by the way. But I would say, God, I'm going to get better. Well, guess what would happen? Even when I was reading my Bible, guess what would happen? I would sin. I would mess up. And I would say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to start doing more. I'm going to start getting better. I will make myself better. So I started praying along with reading my Bible. Well, guess what happened after that? I'd sin again. You know what I'd say? God, I'm not good enough. I'm still messing up. I'm working as hard as I can. I'm getting up earlier than everybody else. I'm trying my hardest to be accepted, but I just can't get good enough. And I'll do the exact same thing with God. And I'll never forget the day God changed my life. I was upstairs in my parents' room, in my parents' house, the place where I was studying. I was up there reading my Bible. And I opened up to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that justified means declared righteous. Means you're up here with Jesus. You are righteous. And I read that and the Holy Spirit burst my heart wide open. And He said these words to me. I didn't hear Him, but it was that still small voice on the inside of me that said this. Why are you trying to be good enough when you already are? Why are you trying to be righteous when you already are? And that burst me wide open. I said, oh God, I've been trying all this time to be accepted by You because I thought I was not good enough. And the Bible says when I trusted in Christ, that made me good enough. The Bible says when I trusted in Christ, that made me perfectly righteous. Do you know when I got saved, there'll never be a day where I'm more righteous than that day, and there'll never be a day when I'm less righteous. Because that day I received Jesus, I became good enough, I became righteous. And you know what I was doing? I got saved, but I said, God, I need to hold on to this salvation. I better do good. I better keep it. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says I'm in His hand. He's not in mine. I'm not holding on to Him. He's holding on to me. And I don't know about you, but He ain't never let me go yet. And He never will. If I was holding on to Him, you best believe I've let go before. But I'm not holding on to Him. I'm in His hand. And the Bible says I'm also sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's a good illustration right there. In the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-powerful, almighty Creator God, He's got me wrapped up in His hand, and then the Holy Spirit just came around and sealed me. Tell me what in the world can break the seal of God Almighty? Absolutely nothing. You want me to tell you something? What'll give you freedom? When you realize you didn't do anything to get salvation, so there ain't nothing you can do to keep it. You say, well, that just gives you a license to sin. You can say whatever you want to. But if you think liberty is a license to sin, you don't have liberty. Jim Caviezel, the one who played Jesus in the Passion of the Christ, he said these words. He said, freedom is not the right to do whatever you want to do. Freedom is the right to do what's right. And when we have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not us looking at Him saying, well, good, I can do whatever I want to do now. That's us saying, I can finally do what I need to do now. I can finally do what's right because You've given me the power to do what's right. I desire for each and every single person in here, I don't care if you've been in church 70 years, I don't care if you've been in church 7 days, there is something that this world wants to do to you, and they want to put you right back under bondage so that you won't enjoy your freedom and your salvation in Christ. Because you'll go to bed every single night saying, God, I'm not good enough. I messed up again. I can't keep it. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. But the Bible says you already are if you've received Jesus. So the main thing today is, man, we try our best to be as righteous as we can. But you know what? That don't measure up to nothing. Because the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't have any. You know, the only that we have is because of Him. And I want you to be free today. Because I don't want you to walk around life saying, I hope I make it. I hope I make it. If you got Christ, you're going to make it. Don't strive under this law anymore. When you receive Jesus, Jesus came along. He stripped this off of your shoulders and threw it into the depths of the sea. He said, it's done. You don't have to keep it. I did. And Paul said, we're no longer under law, but we are under grace. And then Paul says in Galatians 5, verse number 13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. And in case you think Paul's calling for a license to sin, he says this, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. If you think I'm preaching this morning that liberty is a license to sin, good. I'm in the same category as Paul. That's a good category to be in. Because it ain't. Liberty is the ability to do what's right, not the ability to do whatever you want to do. And when you find a Christian that says, well, I can do whatever I want to do, Christ is going to forgive me, more than likely they don't have Christ living on the inside of them. But Christ has given us liberty. Don't stay under this thing. It's heavy. Stop trying and start trusting. Stop trying and start trusting. Because the day you do, Christ will come right back and He'll say, that thing was over you and I'll take it right back off. And He'll give you the freedom that you thought you could never have on your own because He's the one that gives it to us. It's nice to be under grace because He remembers that we're just dust and the law was never meant to save us. It was meant to show you that you're wrong, God's right, so go to God. And He'll make you right. Musicians, you can come. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning, Lord. And I thank You for the fact that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us as we go out of this place. There's so many things around us that will try to put us in bondage. There's people to try to put us in bondage. There's things. But God, I'm thankful that Your Word says that You've already made us free. So God, I pray for that person in here today that needs freedom. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will make this text real to them, will make this, make Your Word real to them, God, and show them that there's nothing that they can do. And this is everything that You already did. And Lord, we stand firm in that today. And we thank You for the freedom that You've given us in Christ. And I pray for that one person in here today, God, that may have never found freedom. I pray they'll come and receive Jesus and find the greatest freedom they'll ever find. And Lord, we thank You for giving us that freedom. In Christ's name, amen.